Glory to God. Hallelujah. You happy to be in church tonight? Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy you showed up. Glory to God. God's got good things for us here tonight, you know. I'm so thankful that for the local church. I'm so thankful that you know, it was a local church that changed my life. Amen. And it's the local church that continues to change my life. And it's not the local church itself, but it's what God does through the local church. Amen. You know, as we come together as the body of Christ, God fills us and He blesses us, and it's just such a wonderful thing. We're so blessed, amen, that we have a God who's made plans. He's made he's got a purpose for us, but He's made plans for us to get there, amen. And we're going to walk those things out. We'll walk them out together, and you know, we're just going to continue, keep on keeping on, do the things that God has us to do until God doesn't have us do them anymore. But I suspect that He's going to have us doing these things for quite some time, amen, because God loves us. He loves Corey, praise the Lord. You know, tonight's message is based in that idea. The message is called "What's Missing," and we're going to be talking about you know, the importance of the local church. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord, and specifically this church. But you know, it's not just you. You might sit there and say, well, we're here, you know, we know that there's importance. Well, yeah, you do know that, but see, sometimes messages just have to be preached. Amen. See, there's a principle, and I've preached a lot of messages in this church. You know, I said to my wife, it's hard to believe that we've been coming down here for over 3 years now. Glory to God. That means I've had 3 years worth of messages between my wife and myself. We've had 3 years worth of messages, and you know, we've had a lot of messages that were a lot bigger than the congregation size that we have. And what I mean by that is that they were meant to reach more people than that, and are meant to reach more people than that. And you know, if you think wrong about it, you could get a little bit down as a minister, that you say, well, I know that this is for more people than just this, that this is to help other people out there, maybe to help thousands or even millions of people, praise the Lord. But you know, here's the truth. Sometimes things need to be established in the spirit realm before they'll ever be established in the natural realm. And so we don't do this in vain. We know that we're reaching the people of Corey, Pennsylvania. We know that there's people that, even though they might not hear this message, that there's things that are being changed in the spirit. There's things that are being done in the spirit that are preparing those people to come in. And if the message isn't preached, then it just goes without saying. You know, a lot of times throughout scripture, God would just declare things to declare them, to say this is how it's going to be. In fact, I love the example that we get a lot in scripture of where God changed the names of people. And the reason He would change the name is so that their name, as you call their name, that they're constantly declaring the promises of God. Amen. Whether or not they were present or not, that's exactly what the purpose of them was for. And so a message like this, I mean, it is for us to stir us up and to keep us believing right and thinking right. Amen. But it's also to put seeds in the ground. Amen. Praise the Lord, and continue to grow those seeds and to minister to those seeds. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what's missing? Amen. And of course, this also does apply too, because we've been in America, we've been seeing you know, this great pandemic that is, I say great because it's been great in scale, not so much great in, like, not that it's great against our God, but we've seen this pandemic that has come out that is kind of shut down churches for a while, and it's kind of even changed people's ideas on what church should be and how church should go. And you know, God has a plan and a purpose for the way that we come together. Amen. You know, that's why I love that the president this week, last night in fact, or yesterday, declared churches an essential operation. Amen. And I'm not going to say business because they're not a business, but they are essential. Amen. But he declared them essential to life, and he said that they must continue, they must be opened up. And I love that, even just that declaration, the fact that that's coming out of the White House is encouraging. And I don't care whether you like the president or not, if you are a Christian, you cannot hate that statement. Amen. And if you do, then you hate God. And I'm just going to tell you the truth, because God loves the local church. He loves the assembling together. It was His idea, not ours. Praise the Lord. You know, some people have come against us and said, you can do church other ways. You can sit home. But see, that's not the way God told us. Maybe you can do things differently, but we try to do things the way God said. Because when we do things the way God said, it works out for us. Amen. When we put the word to practice, God's word, not my word, but God's word, when we get put God's word to practice, Jesus in any area of our life, we find that we are successful. Yeah. Amen. In fact, I was stirred up on the way here by a scripture in 2 Corinthians that says that he always leads us to triumph. Yeah. Amen. He always leads us to triumph. Praise the Lord. Christ Jesus always leads us to triumph. He's always going to lead us to a place of triumph if we trust and follow him. And so no matter what it looks like, no matter how heavy it can be at times, no matter what kind of virus is happening or not happening, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is we always triumph because we're the church. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so it was really encouraging me to hear that that the president said such things and that, you know, he's declaring churches are essential. And that's just something that any good pastor would know anyways. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and some people say, well, you know, we can do online services and stuff like that. Yes, we can. And those are options for the short term. But how many know, you know, if you had to, if you're out in the woods, if you were stranded out in the woods, there's a lot of things you could eat, but only short term. Amen. There's a lot of things that you can consume, but they wouldn't sustain you for very long. In fact, we know that eating some things wrong could end up being worse for you. Amen. And so you can do those things for a short time, but God intends his people to be together. Amen. And so we're going to be addressing those things, and not even just from the standpoint of, oh, you should be in church, but no, the idea that Christians are supposed to be in church, that Christians are supposed to be connected to that God has decided to feed us through that method. Praise the Lord. And it's, again, this isn't a point to condemn anybody or to push anybody and say, you know, why aren't you, you know, no, God has given us these things to prosper. Amen. He's given us these things to succeed in life. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so the question is, you know, along with the name of the message, what's missing? The question that kind of came to my spirit about this was, why church? Why did God do this? Have you ever noticed, and many have wondered and even asked this question, why when we are not there, do we feel it? How come when we've been separated from church, maybe you've been out of church for a few weeks or something, maybe you were sick or maybe you just got distracted or whatever, you were out of church, but you started noticing it in your life. You started noticing that maybe things weren't working out so well, that you were irritable, or maybe there was different things in your life that just seemed to, like, you know, there was more stress and things like that. A lot of people have come to me in this time and said, please, 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 as soon as we can, let's get back to church. Why? Because they've recognized, they say, I notice a difference in my life. We need to assemble together. I need to get back in there. I had one man say to me, who maybe never would have thought of it before, but he said, I realize why it's important to come together. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we have to understand that there is a spiritual principle that is in place, and that is the thing that Satan is trying to rob from the church. He's trying to take from us that ability for us to meet together. And one of the ways he's doing that now is through fear. He's got people so afraid that they're saying, we can't come together safely. Now, you know, there are, you know, when this first thing on the onset of all this, we always will look at measures to make sure that we can meet safely. You know, there's times where, and actually the Lord dealt with me about this, but there's times where we've had to cancel a service because of a snowstorm or something of that, like that. And we do that for the safety of people. There's nothing wrong with that type of thing, but we all miss it, or we should miss it. And the reason we miss it is because God has designed us inherently to need to come together. He has called us the body of Christ. And when we are not connected to the body, and we're not connected if we're not together, amen. You can't say, well, my hand is in the living room, and my arm is at grandma's house, and my leg is Aunt Judy's house or whatever, praise the Lord. Yeah, my back is in the parking lot. You see, you'd be a mess of a person if that's the way it was. But God has called us the body of Christ, and he has brought us together under this guise of church, under this idea of church. Now, church is not the building. We hear that a lot, so we understand that. But that does not mean that us coming together is not important. It does not mean that at all. Just because church, the building, is not the body, yes, we can congregate anywhere. We can congregate at our house. We can congregate or at our houses, in the park. We can congregate in different places. The building isn't specific to the assembling together of the brethren. This is true. But the building is a catalyst to get us to do so in a way that is effective, that brings us together safely, that brings us together out of the elements, praise the Lord. There's a lot of different aspects to it, but it also speaks of God. It's the churches and the community are the buildings are a continual sign to the community of the presence of the Lord. Now, see, a lot of people, they don't even know whether a church is good or bad. There can be bad churches. But to them, they lump them all together. So when you see a church in a community, the first thing that people think of is God. Amen? And so these are important things. I mean, all this stuff is free, no charge. I didn't plan all this, praise God. But there's some utterance this way, amen? But it doesn't just matter that you come. And see, this is a key to understanding what God is doing by the local church. Because some people come to church just to show up. They come to church just to be there, just to get their religious duty in. And that's just as wrong as not being there at all. Amen? We have to come with a desire for God's people, a desire for the love of God, the desire to come together to experience the power of God. We have to put a demand on these. So it matters how we come together. We have to come together with the expectation that God is going to speak to us. And if we don't come together with the expectation that God is going to speak to us, then church just becomes another social event. And that's why people can look at so many churches and say, they're not essential. We don't need them. You need to go to Walmart, but you don't need to go to church. You don't need to assemble. But see, they don't understand the truth of it. And that's because the body of Christ at large does not understand the importance of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're going to start in Titus 1:5. And this is a scripture, you know, we've been in this church before. I know we have. This is a scripture that God specifically has led me on about this church as it exists. Praise the Lord. But it applies to more than just this church, of course. So Titus 1:5, glory to God. You know, but as I was seeking the Lord on what to minister in this church, and honestly, there was a couple different directions that I was going. But as I was seeking the Lord, this started speaking to me, the scripture. I wasn't in it, but it started speaking to me. I started hearing it in my spirit again. And so I knew that God had a direction for it. And of course, this opened the door for the rest of the message. Amen. But it says here in Titus 1:5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I had commanded you." Amen. Praise the Lord. Set in order the things that are lacking. That is a very, very, so this is the one. Now we know that this is a letter to Titus from Paul. And Titus was a pastor that he had sent out, like Timothy. We call the 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus the pastoral letters. And so we know that these are both specifically written to pastors. Amen. And they're a direction to pastors on what they are to do. But that doesn't mean that they don't feed the rest of us, because they do, because the direction given to pastors is for the sheep. And so we see here, Paul tells Titus, this is the reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. How many know that that God is not going to do something just for the sake of doing it? You know, when God moves, when God stirs up the beginning of another church or another in another town, amen, when he sends missionaries into the field or whatever, the purpose of that is because there's something is missing in that place that God needs to get in there, and for whatever reason, it's not getting in there. Now, I'm not saying the other churches in town are bad. I'm not making that judgment, but I'm just saying that our job specifically was to come and put to bring something that's lacking. Now, you may say, well, Pastor Jeff, what was lacking in this area that Family Church needed to come here? Well, I don't know fully and specifically all the things that are lacking in the area. But I do know this, that as I come, as directed by the Lord, and I listen and I seek him for a message, and I come and I preach a message, that I know I'm bringing something that is a directive from him. The Bible tells us that if one speaks, they ought to speak as the oracles of God. So I don't come and just speak as a man. I don't come and just speak as a person who just wants to talk, because I certainly don't want to do that. Amen. But I come and speak as the very oracles of God. It is not wrong for a minister to believe that they speak as the oracles of God. because the Bible tells us that we should speak as the oracles of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That also means it is not wrong for you to believe that the minister speaking to you, if God has connected you to someone, is speaking as the oracles of God, that the things that they are bringing into your life are for a plan and a purpose to prosper you and not to harm you. Praise the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Glory to God. But God has sent us here to, and he has put pastors in various locations, not just me, not just here, but he has put pastors in various locations all throughout the world to set in order the things that are lacking. You know, it's interesting when we think about that. God is a God of order, and there's so much of the body of Christ that is in chaos. There's so many Christians that live chaotic lives, and that they live in a place that is just disorder, and it's just back and forth, and there's up and down. There's no stability. God is a God of order, which always equates to stability. And so if there's no stability, that means there's no God. If there's low stability, there's low God. If there's high stability, praise the Lord, in spiritual things we're talking about, then it does flow over to natural things. How many people know that everything in the natural is spiritual in origin? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I said everything in the natural is spiritual in origin. If you act out a certain way, and if that way is wrong, that way is against what God has taught, that means that something is wrong spiritually. There's something off spiritually. And that's what needs to be dealt with. This is why so many people in the world, you know, people think about drug addicts and stuff like that. It's spiritual in nature. People talk about homosexuals and things, homosexuality and stuff like that. We don't blame the people. That's spiritual in nature. It's a spiritual attack on people to try to get them to do something out of the line of what God wants them to do. And the same thing happens in churches. When church people act wrong, it's not because they necessarily are bad people, but it's spiritual in origin. Amen? Now, when I say spiritual in origin, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to say, like, you know, there's the boogeyman hiding around the corner, controlling and manipulating people. But there are suggestions, and we know that that comes from a place. The devil has always given us suggestions, and he's always given us influences, praise the Lord. But if we are not prepared spiritually, or we don't continually keep ourselves spiritual, praise the Lord, then we will drop our guard just naturally. It'll happen, and those things will take over. Amen? This is one of the primary reasons people who miss church, praise God, start acting wrong every time. I remember there was a person in our Mayville church. They had to, for whatever reason, they ended up missing like a month straight of church. And this person, when they came to me after a month, now this person had been growing and lots of great things had been happening in their lives. But after about a month of missing church, this person was almost completely backslidden. I mean, they were so far off that they didn't even know which way was up. Why is it? Because they let down the spiritual things, they relax the spiritual protection and the things that God has given them. And what happened is the devil had come in and started manipulating. And that's exactly what they're seeing. And so this is why so often, that even if you're in a town with a bunch of churches, praise the Lord, if the churches aren't teaching spiritual principles, if it isn't teaching the truth, this is why people get squirrely and goofy. This is why they get off. And I'm just going to tell you that we have been here less time in Mayville, and in a shorter time in Mayville, we had more squirrely things happen here from people on the outside than we ever saw in Mayville. And the reason for that is because it's unkempt spirituality. It's just kind of a spiritual free-for-all. They think that it's God. Everybody thinks it's God. They don't pit it. The Bible says in 1 John to test the spirits. They don't test the spirits to see if they're actually of God. They just think that every good feeling, it must be God. And because I go to church, or because I believe, that it must be God. And so every direction, therefore, is of God. But we know that that's not true. We know that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that the devil can appear as an angel of light. What does that mean? It means that when he can trick people, he can be deceiving to people. And if they are not grounded spiritually, which God has ordained for us to do, they will get off. It is an absolute fact. And that's why the devil is so hell-bent on closing down the church. So when you see this time, when you see that you know, I am not saying that the government, when they made a decision to shut everything down, I am not saying that they were being led by the devil. I don't believe so at all. But you better believe that the origins of that virus were absolutely spiritual in nature, and it was evil and demonic with its purpose to destroy Christians, to destroy the local church. Satan knows that if he can keep those doors closed, or if he can keep people out of this place, he knows that they miss out on something. Amen? Praise the Lord. That which is of the flesh does not need to be added to. Amen? When you don't, you know, the Bible says to set in order the things we're lacking. As a human, let me ask you, do you have any lacking emotion? Do you have any lack ability or lack in the ability to desire natural things? Amen. When you're hungry, generally, yours is going to go full bore, full tilt at it, right? Praise the Lord. You have no, you see, what I'm saying by this is you don't need, when the Bible says to set in order the things they're lacking, Paul was not telling Titus, hey, go there and make sure they're doing the things in the natural. Make sure they're eating. Make sure that they're making sure they feel good and that they're happy and stuff like that. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the spiritual things that are lacking. Amen? Praise the Lord. A real pastor doesn't put more of the world in people. And this is something we have to understand, and this is something that happens in the body of Christ. There are pastors out there that preach things that are more about the natural. Feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. They feed the fear. They feed into this. They feed into that. Well, they'll change the whole word of God just to go by what they feel. This is not the direction of the Lord. A pastor, there's no need for a pastor to add to the flesh. The pastor should be teaching things and putting things in you that challenge you. They should be bringing you up to a higher level. They should step on your toes. If your toes are not stepped on in a service, it was not a good service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because if I just tell you what you want to hear, the Bible calls that itching ears, and that won't make you any better. What that will make you is a spiritual invalid. Yes, and that's what the church has become in a lot of respects. There's a lot of spiritual invalids out there. Oh, well, this must be from God. This pain, this death, this whatever must be from God, so I'm just going to bask in it. I'm just going to glory in it. But that's what people do. God has given us victory. He always causes us to triumph, amen? That's what the Bible says, not me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I'll repeat it just because I like it, amen? Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:2, glory to God. This was also written to pastors. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Amen? So a pastor should be eager to shepherd the flock. I get eager to teach the truth. I'm diligent about trying to find the truth. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I spend, 20 hours a day in scripture and studying and trying to figure everything out. But one thing I can tell you, and you can ask anybody who knows me personally, that I am constantly looking at what we preach and why we preach it, and is this in the Word, and are we saying these things just because they're doctrine and because we've always taught them that way? Are we saying these things because this is truly what the Word says? Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, as I was just doing a quick study on the pastoral office, something that was very interesting to me is it seems even in Scripture that it's kind of set apart and set aside from all other offices, that it's some or all other things. And I'm not saying that it's greater, like, you know, if you walk, you're a pastor, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm not saying that at all. But we do see how important it was to God throughout the Old Testament and New Testament both to lead his people and to do so by shepherds. Amen. And the Bible says here, again, like I read in 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock of God. There is something that I am supposed to bring, but if I'm supposed to bring something, that's what shepherding is. Shepherding is literally leading people into something. But if there's something that I'm supposed to bring, that means by default that there is something you're supposed to receive. And see, that's the thing, and that's why you say it matters how you come to church. There's some people that think, well, just anybody can stand in that pulpit and preach. And when you believe that, you're not going to receive from that as the Word of God, as the oracles of God. We have to know who we're connected to, we have to know why, and we have to foster that connection. It is up to us to do so. Praise the Lord. It is up to us to foster the connection. It is up to us to determine. And when I mean foster the connection, I don't mean that that means that we have to be hanging out every week. I don't mean that that means we have to, you know, you have to have me over to dinner every night or anything like that. But I mean, you have to desire that connection and what God is bringing through it. In other words, if the Bible tells me to shepherd the flock, to bring something to the body of Christ, then the body of Christ should desire whatever that is that I'm supposed to bring. You should be praying for it. You should expect it. You should be believing God for it. It should be number one on your priority list, because we know that all things stem out of that place of learning to follow God. Amen? Now, that is not saying that you need to hang on every word I say. That doesn't mean that every word I'm ever going to say in this pulpit is always of God. I'm not saying that at all. There certainly will be times where things I say will be out of a place of my own opinion. I'm human. It's going to happen. One of the things that I've learned, though, and I think this is very interesting, is I have learned that when my pastor is talking, I have learned to recognize the office. I have learned, and what I mean by that is I don't sit there and pick apart everything he says, but there's times that my pastor will speak revelation to me, and I know I can recognize and say, that's God. I know that it's God. I know that the Lord is using him to speak into my life. And it's a wonderful connection that I still have with my pastor today. And I receive from it because I receive from it. Because I've determined that that's the way that God has had it, that he set it up that way, and that's the way that I'm going to learn. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Not everything my pastor has ever said to me have I necessarily ever agreed with. But you understand, you can understand that there is a connection and a relationship that you can build where you can receive from that perfectly. Amen? And more and more so. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that you need to be always in fear about whether or not what I'm saying is truth or not. Because if you live that way too, then you probably ought to, you know, be somewhere else. You got to be somewhere where you can trust what's being preached. Amen? And the only way that you can trust what's being preached is if it's coming out of the Word. Amen? When we see the evidence, like, you know, just like I'm talking about the pastoral office, we see the evidence of it in Scripture over and over and over and over and over again. When God wants something, when he emphasizes things to us, praise the Lord, in the Word, that means that's something that we need to focus on. You know, he emphasizes, he tells us about the other offices, but you know the primary office that we see throughout Scripture is the role of the shepherd, the role of the pastor, amen? Praise the Lord. We know that Jesus is called the chief shepherd, but if he's the chief shepherd, that means there are under shepherds. We understand that that's right and that's good, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there is something that I am supposed to bring, but there is something that you are meant to receive. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Romans. We're going to go to Romans 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the fact that God uses imperfect vessels to deliver perfection. And when I mean deliver perfection, I am not talking about what I say. I'm talking about the Word of God. That through the Word of God, that lives can actually change, and they do. But another thing I have also noticed, and we have a couple here that is a great example of this. Praise God. Hallelujah. John and Liz here are a great example of how the pastoral office has changed lives. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And I am not talking about me. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about the office that God has given us. Because remember, we never outgrow the pastoral office. I still have a pastor that I submit to. I still have a pastor that I feed from. I still have a pastor who speaks into my life, amen, as the oracles of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the reason I bring them up is because, you know, even as we've been talking about getting the, you know, we've got others in here too. Josh and Rachel back there as well are examples of this. But, you know, people who have come in and maybe came from a background of no church or little church. And all of a sudden they get connected to the Word of God and God changes their lives. Amen. That their lives flourish. That all of a sudden, you know, as I look over the years since either of these people have been here, that you see how there's been growth in every area of life. They become more spiritual to the place where I've had both John and Josh, I've had them both in the pulpit. Yeah. Praise the Lord. They both preach in this pulpit. Why? I wouldn't put somebody in this pulpit I don't trust. Glory to God. But they've both grown to that place where they can feed the people of God. They've both grown to that place where they can be, depending, I'm talking about the families, I'm not just talking about the men, because the ladies could equally as well. Praise the Lord. They might not know it, but they could. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we see this. They've grown in those ways. They've grown financially. They've grown, you know, they've increased in joy, happiness. Their families have grown, different things like that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're looking at Romans 1:11. Glory to God. Romans 1:11. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Praise the Lord. So we see here, that, you know, Paul is saying to the Romans, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift. Hallelujah. There is something that there is an impartation that comes from seeing the people that God has put you with. Amen. It's not just a matter of like, see, oh, I see a picture of them, or I see them over there, or I see them on the Zoom meeting or something like that. But there's something, there's times when I'll be preaching and I'll be looking out into the crowd and all of a sudden I'll look across your face and all of a sudden God will stir something that I know is right for you. Or there's times where I see your face and God stirs something and I didn't even know it was for you. I've had people come up to me after a service and said, Pastor, you said something today that was exactly what I needed. You know, on Friday night, glory to God, or on Friday afternoon, the Lord put it on my heart to just do a kind of a quick devotional Zoom meeting. You know, it was really just a last minute thing, and I did it, and a few people were able to join. I knew that a lot of people wouldn't because people have jobs and stuff like that, but, you know, a few people were able to join. And, you know, one of the people, two people specifically reached out and said, this, you don't even know basically how much I needed this spoke right to me. See, that's the pastoral office waiting. How did I know, sitting there in my back room as I was studying, how did I know that that meeting was going to be necessary for a life? I would have no idea. But God will speak to us that way. I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, we know that in 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7, he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. Amen. But then it goes on, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. What do you need when there's a time in your life where things are breaking apart? When there's a chance to be fearful? You need to stir up the gift of God that is in you. But what if you're never around? What if you've never got that? What if you've never sat under that? You've never received that spiritual gift. You won't know how to deal with it. And one of the things that I see so, and it saddens me, there's so many times where I see people where I'm like, if we could just get them in church, just to sit under the word. I'm talking about people that aren't even Christians. But I'm like, if they just knew what God had for them, their whole life would change. The answer is right there. It's stirring in me, and there's an eagerness to bring it and to preach to them. But the whole truth is it can't, because people won't. Amen? We cannot forsake the assembling together of the brethren. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that what? You may be established. See, this is what people forget. There is an establishing that this office does in your life. What does it mean to be established? It means to be stable. It means to not be moved. You know, remember Jesus said that if you build out, the wise man builds on the rock. What do you think the rock is? The rock is his word. Do what his word says. His word says, you need to be established. And I've given you an office to establish you, because you cannot be established on your own. In fact, I'll take that a step further. You will not be established on your own. You cannot withstand all the things that the devil is going to bring you by yourself. You will sink, because, and the devil knows it. That's why he works overtime to try to close it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Have you noticed that in this time, there's a lot of things that have been remained open, but one of those things is not the local church. Have you noticed that? Abortion clinics remain open across the United States. They're essential. Liquor stores remain open across the United States. Don't tell me that this pandemic was not an attack on the church. Don't tell me that it wasn't. Why would the governor of New York State was not planning on even putting churches into the last phase of reopening? Why is that? Because he doesn't think they're essential. And see, just because a man doesn't think they're essential does not make them any less essential. I look in the faces of my people, the ones that I see, and I can tell you, I know the essentialness of the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants you to be established, but it will not happen without that spiritual gift. And he goes on to say, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And so we see that there is a working together in our faith that brings together a greater good. Amen? Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Now it says, but was hindered, and it throws that in there in the center just to explain something. And that can kind of throw us off a little bit if we don't. I want to read that without this. And it says, I often plan to come to you that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. So there's proof that fruit does not come unless that establishing, that impartation has happened. The fruit of your life will not be bore if you are not established. If you don't have that impartation that God is endeavoring to put in you. Amen. You know, one of the things I was thinking of before the service here is, you know, there's these certain kinds of lilies that you see all the time in the springtime. You always see them in every store that sells flowers and stuff like that. But there are certain kinds, I think they may be the Asiatic lilies or something like that. And I think they're kind of, a temperamental a little bit. They're not just, they don't just grow like grass or like dandelions or something like that. You know, they're a little more temperamental than that. But the one thing I noticed about them is they're always big in the store. They're always beautiful in the store. But if you buy them and you plant them, they never come up the second year the same way they were when they were in the store. They're always smaller. The flowers may not be as many. They don't, you know what I mean? They just never do. I've noticed that. I mean, I've seen them all over. Everybody buys them because they're beautiful. But I've never seen them the way they are in the store. But have you ever thought about why that may be? And as just before service, I don't even know what I was thinking about. I was looking at the landscaping. Wasn't even thinking about the sermon at that moment in particular, but the Lord just brings it back up to me. But the thing that I thought about is this. It's because the environment of the store is different. There are impartations they get when they're grown in a greenhouse that they don't get out there. See, when they're in the greenhouse, they're temperature controlled. They get the right amount of sun. Somebody's attending to their water needs every single day. They know there's somebody who's trained in how to take care of this flower, that it is making sure that that flower gets everything, the fertilizer that it needs. And that's why it's always beautiful. But see, when you take it and you just plant it in your yard and you just kind of leave it there, it may come back up, but it's not like it was when it was taken care of. And the same thing is with God's people. They may be, God's people, they may be able to believe, and they may be able to read the word and pray and even get some things from God on their own. But they'll never be like they were when they're taken care of. And so that's the exact same thing that happens with God's people in the local church. The local church is like the greenhouse. Amen? Praise the Lord. The local church is like the greenhouse, and the pastor is like the horticulturalist or whatever. They're the ones that are in there. They know about, or they should know about, what the sheep need to be fed. And we know, the reason I know what you need is not always because I know what you need, but it's because I have a direction from God, and I seek Him for that direction to feed my people. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we understand here that God is determined that we would have fruit, that we should bear fruit, but we need those impartations to do so. Glory to God. So looking back, reflecting back about the early question, why church? Why do we need church? Why do we need that? Or why, when I've noticed, have you ever noticed that? When you haven't been there, you're like, man, I really missed out on that. Yeah. Have you ever missed? Even sometimes people are like, you know, when we've had multiple services in a week, we have a midweek service in our Mayville church and stuff. And even when we're out without that, some people's like, man, I really missed out on that in this time. You know, I really miss being there. I have people that reach out to us that weren't able to come to the Zoom meeting. And I have people reach out to me and say, hey, is there any way that we could, was that recorded so I could get some? That's somebody who wants to be fed. Yeah. That's somebody who knows and understands that there's a connection there. There's something more for them to get. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we need to be. We need to be people that are hungry for what God wants to do and the methods that He's given us to do them. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. You turn with me to Ephesians 4. Praise God. Now, the scriptures that we're going to read here in Ephesians 4, Ephesians is going to start in verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11, and we're going to go through verse 18. These are some meaty scriptures. And so I'm going to make a suggestion tonight, and I would pose this before you, give you a little bit of homework. You need to go home and get back into these scriptures that I'm giving you tonight, specifically these ones too, and you need to soak up everything you can get out of them. Go to them like you're just going to a good meal and you just want all of it. I want you to get into it and read it and understand it, because there is some good stuff in here. Now, we're going to touch on some of it, but God will give you more revelation if you do so. Amen. So Ephesians 4:11 says here, and He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Praise the Lord. These are the ministry offices, which we a lot of times call the fivefold office, but these are the ministry offices. If you hear us talk about that, or you hear someone else talk about the fivefold ministry office, this is what they're referring to. And so these offices are given to us. And now in verse 12, it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Amen. So those offices will equip you to do the ministry, to do your ministry, the thing that you're called to do. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that word edifying means to build up. Yeah. Amen. So it's for the building up of the body of Christ. These offices are given to us to equip us for ministry and to build us up in strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Till, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith. So there's something that God is trying to draw us to, and that's the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So these ministry offices, what they do is they equip us for the work of the ministry, they edify us, but they also bring us to a unity of faith, or that's what the goal of them is to do. Yeah. Amen? But not just a unity in faith, but also, praise the Lord, but the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God endeavors that His people would get to that place, that stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants you to be as full as Christ was. You know, the Bible says that He was given the Spirit without measure. I'm going to tell you something right now. I do not believe that God is withholding His Spirit or the things from us. Because the Bible says He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We know that He wants to pour out His Spirit upon us. We know that He wants to give us His Spirit more and more, but we can't just handle it on our own. Praise the Lord. We have to be brought into that place. We have to be brought to or grown up into that. And that's going to come through the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Son of God, specifically the knowledge of Jesus, what He did, why He did what He did, how He did what He did. How He did it was through the Spirit. He did it because God directed him. He came to establish God's will on the earth and to let us know once and for all what his will was. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But look in verse 14. This is really interesting. Now remember, in context, this is still talking about the ministry offices. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Every wind of doctrine. What is a wind of doctrine? Winds of doctrine are things that people come up with all the time. And sometimes, doctrine can be good if it's something that's based scriptural, obviously. But sometimes, there was for a time, the extreme, what we call the extreme grace message came up, where you kind of the you do you of Christianity, amen? You just get saved, you accept Jesus, and then it's smooth sailing from there. Extreme, God's got grace, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, we've been seeing this a lot. You know, we're in Corona quarantine. We're not really quarantined, but we're minding the stay-at-home orders, and you kind of get bored a little bit, and you're watching TV, and we see a lot of shows. You know, there's shows on Netflix and Amazon Prime and all these different things. But these shows, you see some of the shows that we're watching, we see a lot of Christians on them. But you know what I notice about the Christians? It's they're completely doing things that are not, that the Bible tells us not to do. They're just out there doing. I mean, not, and we're not talking about even Old Testament, because people argue that, not even Old Testament stuff, but I'm talking about New Testament stuff. I mean, there's this one, we saw a pastor, and he's sitting there drinking champagne. Well, the Bible talks specifically about pastors drinking. Yeah. And that's something that you ought not do. Right. Praise the Lord. A pastor should not be drinking. Amen. Bible says so. Christians should not be drinking. But this is something people, they're Christians. We're talking about setting up shots. Let's set up shots. God never gave you that free. The extreme grace message will tell you all things are permissible. But God warned us very sternly throughout the New Testament that all things are not only not permissible, but we're held to a higher standard than those who came before us, because now we've been given Jesus. But yet people are still out there living and doing whatever they want to do. They're rejecting the word of God. People that are living relationships, they're Christians that are in and out of relationships. They're fornicating and adultering and all these things. And somehow they feel justified in doing so. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. I even had a friend. I was a friend that helped me come into the church, this church. Praise the Lord. And we're just thumbing through Instagram, looking there, and all of a sudden it's like talking about, you know, and how good the whiskey and the beer is and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, how far have you fallen from grace? Wow. That you can't even see, have deceived yourself just because it's something you want to do. You've deceived yourself into believing that this is truth, that this is good, that God is okay with this. Extreme grace, winds of doctrine, that people can do whatever they want to do. You can have church your way. Pick and choose. We heard on the Christian Network, they said, well, one of the great things about right now with everybody doing online services only is you can hop around and you can see what church you want to see. You can just go wherever you want and get kind of pick and choose. They literally said pick and choose. You don't pick and choose the plan of God. Nowhere in Scripture does it say pick and choose the plan of God. He says be planted in the house of the Lord and then you'll flourish. If you ain't planted, you won't flourish. The devil has gotten into Christianity. And Christians aren't rebuking it. They're not rejecting it. They just swallow it up. Why? Because they're children tossed to and fro. They're not established because they've never submitted to the ministry office. And what do I mean by submit? See, people would hate that I even said submitted to the ministry offices. What do I mean by submitted to the ministry offices? That you recognize that God has given them to you in your life to help establish you. That without them, you cannot be established. That they are a need in your life. They're as much of a need as the Scripture is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something that might really rock your boat. The ministry offices are as much of a need as Jesus is in your life. Oh, people wouldn't like that. How do I know that? Because that's what Jesus gave us. That's what he said you needed. If it was just Jesus that we needed, he'd have stayed. But he didn't stay. He went and he sent the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And he inspired people by the Holy Spirit into the ministry offices. Glory to God. That's how we get the writings of Paul and the writings of Peter. Yeah. Glory to God. Those are as much scripture as the things that God said himself. Because he was saying it, because they were speaking as the oracles of God, which is how God has determined things should be. See, people don't like that. I've actually heard Christians who are supposed to be well taught, saying, "Well, if it looks like it's different here, and what Paul was saying and Jesus was saying was two different things, then we just follow what Jesus said." I've heard other people who are believers say, "Well, you know, Paul wrote this stuff, so you can't really bank on all that." No, it's the Word of God. This is all the Word of God. It doesn't change just because you don't like it. Praise the Lord. And you can't make it something different just because you won't agree with it. Or because it rubs you the wrong way. We have to receive the Word of God for what the Word of God is for. It is meant to change our lives. The ministry offices are meant to change our lives. The impartations through the local church is meant to change our lives. All these things God has given us to change our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where were we? So they'll be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. And by the way, my friend or other people that I've seen like that, that's exactly what I've seen. You know how many different doctrines I've heard come out of the mouth of this person over the years? I mean, crazy stuff. And I don't hate this person. Not at all. I feel for, because it's like, and every time I see this stuff, I say the same thing. If you would just get planted in the house of the Lord, you would flourish. All the things that you've desired, God wants to give you. They're right there for you. Actually, I know. Praise the Lord, I can't even go into the detail. But I've seen it. And it's not hard. It's easy. Praise the Lord. But it's just a matter of being established. And see, they're not. And it's just so sad to see it. Doctrines. Oh, you don't need the house of God. Well, the church wasn't done this way. The way churches are done now is not the way it was originally done. Yeah, it wasn't. There wasn't originally, the disciples weren't sitting in a building like this. We're blessed to have this. I said, we're blessed to have this. See, people take it for granted. I heard a pastor once say, I wish we could get rid of the church, but I wish we could go to a storefront. Oh, yeah? Well, you've never pastored in a storefront. It's much better having this. It's much better having these nice cushy seats than it is sitting on a box. Listen, we don't have to, just because we have something nice doesn't mean that we're not godly. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is proof that God wants to bless us. But we can't take it for granted either. And just say it doesn't matter, because it does. Well, praise the Lord. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We speak the truth in love so that people can grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You can't get to the head without the body. I said, you can't get to the head without the body. Praise the Lord. It doesn't happen. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what? Every joint supplies. Wow. How are you going to supply your part if you're not joined and knit? How are you going to supply your part over Zoom or over Facebook Live? How are you going to do that? You can't. You can't be established if you are out there somewhere by yourself. Folks, this is what I've been talking about. There are people that will stay away from churches out of fear. You got to get it under control, because you will be the one that ends up losing. God won't let the rest of us go down. I'm just telling you the truth. Those who remain faithful will remain faithful, and they will be blessed to the end. But it's you who will be disconnected. It's you who will lose out if you lose that connection. You cannot allow fear to keep you from the plan of God. And being afraid of getting sick by going to church is part of that fear. Now, I am not saying that in the midst of things we can't make decisions. I'm not saying that everybody has to come back tomorrow. But you have to get it settled in your head that you got to be there. That it's not good enough for you to be elsewhere. Because it's not. And if you think it is, you're not connected. I said, if you think it's as good, you're not connected. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm not just speaking to this church. We have people from our other church that watch. We have people that maybe aren't even from our church that watch. I'm speaking to you too. And I'm not saying you have to be connected to this church specifically. But you got to be connected where God's called you to be connected, or you will shrivel up and die. That's the way it is. Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer what? Walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. It is the mind that says, well, we better be careful. We can't go to church anymore. It's the mind that says, that's not God. That's the futility of your mind. Don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles. The rest of the world walks. They say you can't go. It doesn't matter. You got to follow your conscience, but you need to be there. Amen? You need to be connected. Praise the Lord. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from what? The life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. You can allow ignorance into your life, think the wrong thoughts, and therefore be alienated from the life that God has for you. Christians do it all the time. I see it all the time. I see Christians where God wants to promote them. He wants to do more in their life. Actually, I've seen it in this church. I've seen people that came early on. I know one in particular. God was just about the promotion, just about to start promoting this person. We're ready to call it. Had the direction from God. God was going to do great things there, answer prayers that this person had been praying forever, and they walked away, haven't been here in years, and forsake the plan of God. They forsake they're alienated from the life of God. Out there still doing the same thing, just bebopping around. See, it happens. It happens all the time. It's sad. And as a pastor, you like hate it. It's like the worst feeling in the world is to see people with such great potential. I've had some in Mayville. Praise the Lord. God had big plans for them. All you have to do is connect. All you have to do is say, you know what, I'm going all in. Whatever that means. I don't know what it means. I'm going all in. Regardless of what anyone else does. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I guess I got to stop. Amen. I want to say this, though, as I stop. Just as it is right to be of the gift, it is right to receive of the gift. And what I mean by that is just as it's right for me to be a pastor or for you to be walking in the gift that God has a gift God has given you or an ability that God has given you, just as it's good to be of it, it's good to receive of it. So in our lives, it's important that we receive of the gifts that God has given us. And God will put gifts in each one of us that the others don't have. God will put gifts in you that I don't have. Do you know that? As the pastor of the church, God will put gifts in you that I don't have, but he will bring us together as a body, and those gifts are meant to be used and to edify. But without you, if people don't connect to that, if they won't come, you know, they'll never be used in the gift. They can't be promoted. They can't be used in that area. You know what does it? One of the things that's lacking in the body of Christ is faithfulness. Faithfulness is, and you just think about it. Think about it, especially if you're a married person. You know the awful feeling it would be if your spouse was not faithful. Yeah. Well, think about how many people are not faithful to God's body. They're not faithful to the body of Christ. They're not faithful to church. They're not faithful to their pastor. They're not faithful to the plan of God. Think about that. It actually is a tragedy that it's so often like that. But how many Christians are out there doing just that? Praise the Lord. We don't want to be those Christians. We want to receive what God has from us, but we also need to come desiring to bring our supply and to bring our part. Because when we do so, the body of Christ will grow into something that Satan won't even be able to touch. And again, I am not just speaking to the people in these seats. I'm speaking to the whole city of Corey, the whole area, Spartansburg, praise the Lord, Union City, glory to God, Columbus, hallelujah. As far as we can reach, as far as people will come. You know, what's this climber over here? Waterford isn't that far. Praise the Lord. You know, this whole area, God wants to change. He wants to do something in. And it starts right here. These seeds are being planted. Praise the Lord. Prosperity is coming to Corey and the surrounding area. Praise the Lord. God is here. Praise the Lord. And he wants it. I'm not saying I'm God. Definitely not saying that. But I'm saying God is here and he wants to do something. And the fact that we're here is proof that he wants to do something.